Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
Today, I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Kathy Cook. She's an esteemed colleague, seasoned expert in child development, a lot of years of experience working with kids and training parents to raise their children anchored in their faith. Her organization is called Celebrate Kids, and that's what she does. Kathy is the founder and president of that ministry, which equips children to thrive in today's challenging culture. She has a doctorate in educational psychology from Purdue University. She's helped thousands of parents, teachers, and children through her speaking, her books, and her in-person events and sessions. Her latest book, co-authored with Dr. Jeff Myers, is entitled Raising Gender-Confident Kids, Helping Kids Embrace Their God-Given Design. I spoke with Jeff last month on this very topic. I'm excited to hear Kathy's perspective today. It's a timely and practical resource for every parent and every educator. Dr. Kathy Cook, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Kathy, as we get started, America's going back to school. You have a real love for our kids. You've been involved in education for a long time. Strong voice of encouragement. But the hearts and minds of our kids, that's what this is all about as they go back to school, Kathy. People I know are always concerned about safety, parental rights, and we're going to talk about that. Talk to us about our children.
Yeah, I want them to love learning. I want them to engage in all things that are educationally solid and sound. I want educators to teach them about math, science, reading, and spelling. And I want the kids to be encouraged and to believe that their life has purpose and that they can make a difference today. They don't have to grow up to become somebody. They already are somebody. So do we treat them like that? Do we value them today? Do we celebrate them like Jesus did when he was on earth? And other people dismiss children as unimportant. But Jesus said, no, these children matter. I want us to have that, you know, mentality and that belief system toward our kids.
You're always having conversations with parents. Kathy, I know, again, I mentioned the concerns. People, you know, with the rash of shootings through the, last few years and more, it's just like that's got their attention. So safety is a big issue. They're concerned about what they experience in the classroom. We're going to talk about that. They're concerned about other kids being really hard on each other, like bullying and more. Kathy, what do you think are some of the top couple of issues as kids go back to school?
I think fear-based parenting is ineffective and rampant in our culture. So I want to say to our parents, you know, are you confident with where you're sending your kids? And if not, could I boldly say, why are you sending them there? Do you pray for those who are there doing a good job? Do you thank you? Do you have gratitude toward those who are doing an excellent job? Do you send thank you notes even to school board members who are standing up for the things that are righteous? I think we can do a better job in all of that. I think, obviously, teachers are overwhelmed. Teachers are not trained in mental health, Tim. In fact, I tell teachers everywhere I go to get the AACC mental health coaching program because they're so underprepared for what's going on out there. And most of the teachers that are being interviewed don't like the ideology that they're being forced to cover, but yet they don't have a choice. Many of them feel that way, and they really don't. So it's not a healthy place. It's not a good place. The ideologies in so many ways are bad, and it makes me sad, right? Makes you sad, too, I know.
Kathy, during the last administration, the Biden-Harris administration, there was such an emphasis on transgender ideology, and a lot of the conversations around education shifted from educating our kids to indoctrinating our kids, and we know whoever wins the war for our children controls the future. This transgender ideology piece, Kathy, you guys have come out with a new book, you, along with our good friend Jeff Myers, called Raising Gender Confident Kids. This week, Kathy, I had a parent reach out to me and say, their son is actually like traumatized. He went to school his first day, public school system that I know very, very well. And the first thing that the boy encountered was a drag queen, at receiving the kids at the school. I'm like, it's like, this kid was like, what in the world, you know? And mom and dad were saying, hey, what are we going to do? We can't even believe this stuff is happening. Kathy, how did we get here?
Sin, right? The lack of discipleship in our churches. Now, some pastors are doing a really good job at that. Please hear me. But we're not, in some churches, we're not talking about tough stuff. We're not talking about sexual sin. We're not talking about heterosexual sexual sin, which makes all of the people on the gay and lesbian side really angry because they feel targeted, because that seems to be the only thing that we talk about. And it's wrong. We've got to be teaching biblical truth. We've got to be discipling our parents and our children to know what is true and why it is best. You know, gender confidence starts with being confident in God, that God is a good creator and that God uniquely wires us together with good gifts for the future and for the present. We're not teaching that. So I'm going to say it starts with a not understanding sin, not understanding that God is a good God. And then, of course, there's so many other things. You know, the public school ideology, it's there, sadly. Medical professionals who wanted the money, so they kept their mouths shut about how dangerous things really were. Stereotypes is a huge thing. You know, I'm tall. I'm 6'1", as you know, Tim. I'm tall. And I was the tallest kid in my class all the way through grade 9. And, you know, back in the day, I did realize, why am I the taller? Aren't men supposed to be taller? Like, who wrote that book? Like, that's not biblical. So I didn't panic that I'm taller. I just lived my life and eventually, you know, men caught up. But if I would be young today with a low voice being called sir sometimes and too tall, I might wonder, am I supposed to be a guy? Am I a woman trapped in the wrong body? Am I a guy trapped in the wrong body? It's such a lie. We've got to stand up for truth. And not everybody's doing that. Stereotypes are very damaging.
Kathy, we've gotten to a place, though, and this is a big, huge red alert. And the CDC noted that about 1/4 of high schoolers identified as LGBTQ, actually going up significantly from 2005 to 2021. Nearly 30% of Gen Z adults identify as LGBTQ. That's like shocking. Okay. I mean, seriously, it's like, that can't be true. So this research has got to be off base or something. But Kathy, what are you finding? Is that true? And what's happening out there? Because moms and dads are saying, hey, wait a second. They're growing up with a lot of kids around them that are very confused about all this.
Exactly. And confusion is dangerous, right, Tim? We don't make good decisions when we're confused. We have no clarity. And we know that confusion is not from the Lord, which makes it, I think, that much more dangerous and that much scarier. We don't believe that many people who identify in that sexual sin category are actually that. They're looking for identity that changes them. They're looking for intimacy. They're looking for belonging. They're looking for popularity. In our public schools, if you come out as trans or bi or even gay or lesbian, you're celebrated by that community. Red carpet is thrown under your feet. Your locker's decorated. Now you have a community to eat with. Now that'll last until the next kid comes out. So they get a very short fix of this adrenaline of now I'm cool and everybody knows my name. They're looking for something that is not going to be fixed by a label that is actually untrue. Gender dysphoria, as you know, Tim, is a clinically distressed view of your body. Most people who identify as transgender are not that. Most people who are identifying in the gay and lesbian and bi community are just looking for something. They're running from mental health issues. They think a label will fix them. They think popping a pill will fix them, and it won't, which exasperates the problem even more. So I think the data may be true that some people are filling out a form saying, yeah, this is me. But I don't think it's true in the fact that I don't think they're truly in that category. They're just looking for something. I hope that makes sense.
And when you have a culture where parents are busy, they don't have a lot of time to spend one-on-one with their children and have those kind of conversations, you know, it's important that you get time so that at the right moment, your kids can bring up maybe in a safe conversation with you something that happened at school, maybe an encounter in a locker room or what have you, or they overheard a conversation that confused them about their friends. Kathy, in your book, Raising Gender Confident Kids, talk to us about the most shocking thing you've learned through the research and the most important thing we can do as parents.
Wow, the most shocking thing. Well, the stats are really shocking. I was appalled at the research on the medical community, and you're familiar with this, Tim, where how many people, you know, knew that the surgeries would not work. They knew that the suicide rate is going to rise after transitioning because it doesn't work. They knew the cost. It was all about the money. That really makes me angry. So I think that was shocking. I want parents to stand up. I want parents to be strong. I want parents to parent long and strong. I want parents to say no to their children. I want them to realize, Tim, that everybody's confused in their body for a season, right? I know I was. Confusion. We got to teach our kids to live being uncomfortable. And you don't run from it. You walk through it. You're with your kids. You have conversations. You don't go to the doctor. You know, when I was too tall as a kid and I said, "Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore," she didn't look for a knife to cut 6 inches off between my ankle and my knee. She didn't take me to the doctor. My mom and dad worked to change my attitude toward my height. And that's what we've got to get better at. Moms and dads have got to be available. Grandparents, older siblings, we've got to listen longer. We've got to comfort. We've got to care. We've got to be willing to feel their feelings, which I know is scary for parents. And when we distract them, Tim, there's so many identities children have. They're creative and talented and musical, and they love math, and they're scientific problem solvers, and they love Jesus, and they're fabulous big brothers and little sisters. We've got to talk to them about all that they are so that they don't camp in this one area.
Kathy, a lot of parents get pushback saying that they're being insensitive or they're being hateful if they don't affirm their children. And they we've heard this term before, weaponized empathy in the midst of it. I guess that's why when you step back and you think about parenting, it's a responsibility. This is about stepping up and sharing truth, being able to engage in those kind of conversations. You guys really did a great job inside of raising gender-confident kids, helping parents start those kind of conversations, how they can, quote, press into areas that they feel uncomfortable with. And you give them tools, tips. Talk to us about that.
Thank you. And thank you for endorsing our book, Tim. We're so grateful. We have 200 discussion starters in the book because we know that parents want to be the authority. Parents want to be the main influence. And so we do share discussion starters. We do share how to answer questions. You know, we can say things like, "Help me understand," and "What makes you think that that's right?" and "What if you're wrong?" So good discussion starters, ways to listen longer. We suggest things like listening in the dark because children don't like eye contact when they're going to scare us. And we actually say in the book, Tim, that you don't have to know everything. You know, kids are, oh my goodness, they're researching the internet. Another problem, of course, here is the media lie, the bias in the media, the bias on the internet. If you search transgenderism, it'll take you pages and pages on the web before you get to anything that would be a biblically true account of transgenderism. So kids are researching. So kids come to parents and grandparents. They think they have all the answers. Parents haven't done the research, so they're intimidated by that. But it's okay. You don't have to. Just listen longer and say, "How did you learn that? What if you're not right?" And then I would say to all the parents as well, Tim, be prepared. The discussion is bound to happen. Either your kids will get confused, or as you said earlier, they'll overhear something, or they'll observe something. They're at a store and they see a person in a dress who also has a beard, and they're trying to figure out, you know, who is that? So get ready for the conversation so that you can act appropriately based on what you know is true and you don't react emotionally.
Kathy, the term gender affirming, here's a play on words and this empathy issue that gets challenging, if you will, for parents. They think if you don't do affirming work that you're somehow hurting your children. But I want to step back in this conversation and talk about what we've learned about this kind of care. When you talk about putting kids on hormones, when you talk about gender surgeries, people call them mutilating surgeries. They're often not reversible, et cetera, and it's permanent. And you hear these horror stories coming out about this now. People are finally talking openly about, hey, wait a second, this is stuff that we've got to go much deeper and much more open about in our conversations. I think that's why the Trump administration made a bold, hard move to say, hey, listen, we're not doing this. We're not getting behind this. What you think and choose as an adult is one thing, but as children, no, no, no. We're not going to go there. Kathy, help us go down this and understand it more clearly.
Yeah, appreciate that so much. And we are so grateful, both at Summit and Celebrate Kids, for President Trump and his bold statements and the difference it's already making. And we're glad we wrote our book. We started writing the book just as he was inaugurated into office, so the timing was really good. Yeah, gender-affirming care sounds so good, right? We're gonna care. But it's a lie. Gender-affirming care is being used by the liberal ideology community. And they want us to care about the new gender people want. Gender-affirming care would be to give them a hormone. Gender-affirming care would be to cut a girl's hair and let her dress like a guy. That's not what we want. We want to say, no, God is a good creator. He knows what he's doing. And he made you male or female on purpose. And if you live long enough and live through the moments of when you're uncomfortable, it's going to make sense one day. And we know from the research that about 90% of the people, 90% of our children and preteens who are uncomfortable in their body, at some point, by the time they're adolescents, by the time they're 17, 18 years old, they've come right around. And now they know that it's good to be the gender that God chose for them. We've got to wait, and we've got to make sure that we're affirming that God is a good creator, not that the medical community that wants the surgery to happen is good. They're not.
Kathy, I want to go into our children a little bit more here too. Mom, dad listening, say they have a confused child. For whatever reason, that child's struggling. And they've been working hard. They're praying. They're on their knees. They're crying out to God for help, wisdom. Had a conversation this week, one-on-one with a friend, a faith leader, and told me about something that was happening in his family. And he was broken. And he said, Tim, we're struggling on what to do, what to say when you don't know what to say, and what to do when you don't know what to do. Can you talk to us about those kind of situations?
When a child is confused, either you know the child's confused or the child says, I'm confused, first words out of your mouth, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Confusion doesn't feel safe inside. You know, Tim, when you and I were young, even people who didn't go to church knew boys were boys and girls were girls. There was a standard of right and wrong and true and false in culture. So it wasn't scary. I'm glad I'm not a kid today. I think it's actually very challenging, especially if we orient our children into systems that are broken. And I'll just leave it at that. So I'm so sorry you're confused. Thank you for coming to me. Like parents and grandparents, you need to say, thank you for trusting me, because they can go to Google, they can go to Siri, they can go to Alexa, they can go to the people on the street corner, if you will, and they're not going to get truth there. So thanks for coming to me. Let me help you find clarity, which would be God's will for you, that you would understand truth. And even if they don't believe the Bible is true, you need to operate that the Bible is true. And you can teach the truth from Scripture without quoting chapter and verse, and then maybe the kids won't run from the room. And you listen longer. Tell me why you believe that. Why do you think that's to your advantage? And then you talk about stereotypes. Tim, you've got to tell, it's okay for boys to dance. It's okay for girls to want to change the oil in daddy's truck because she's a daddy's girl. It's okay for, you know, boys to cook, and it's okay for girls to not cook. We've got to make sure that we're not endorsing things that the culture would endorse in our homes, where we've got to use biblical standards, not cultural standards. I hope that's helpful. Don't panic. They're gonna live through it, and so will you.
And you don't want to shy away from it. Kathy, I wonder, what'd you find out about fathering? I've seen a lot of research where dads who are present, actively engaged in the lives of his children, they, quote, tend to be much more secure in their male and female identities. When we talk about cognitive development, there's so much more around fathering. Do you see it as a big factor?
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up. And I want to say that single moms, it'll be okay for the single mom. And it's ideal if you can get your sons a mentor, an uncle, a grandfather, a neighbor, a pastor, a teacher who would be willing to maybe go beyond the 8 to 3 hours with your son. And yet the ideal family, ordained again by God, a mom and a dad, and the dad who's involved, not a mom who's married, who's a single mom, if you will, but a dad who's engaged, a dad who kicks the ball in the backyard, and a dad who reads. Men have got to read with their children. One of the reasons that boys don't read is they don't see their dads reading. And for a dad to love his masculinity, and that doesn't mean that you have to go throw an axe on a Saturday morning or a Friday night with a bunch of friends, but to own your masculinity and to show that you can be strong and you can be a steward of life. I'm not aggressive. There are a lot of women who want to transition to men because they've been abused by men and they think men are strong and men never get hurt.
Kathy, we hear discussions about acceptance versus affirmation. In other words, how do I love the sinner and hate the sin kind of conversation here? And people really, you have parents come back and say, hey, listen, we can't even have a voice. It's like we don't have a voice here. But I love my son or daughter. Just say they're adults here for a moment. You know what I mean? How do you walk through that, Kathy? How do you encourage families who are in the storm, if you will, the eye of the storm at the moment?
I appreciate the question, and it is challenging. If parents have always loved their children unconditionally, of course, it's much easier. So if I could speak now to the ones who have young children, love them unconditionally starting now. That means that if they're disobedient, you still go on the bike ride you promised them at 10 o'clock in the morning. It means that if you said you would make their favorite dessert, you make it even if they disappointed you at 3 p.m. That's unconditional love. You follow through on your commitments and your promises. And there's a consequence for their disobedience, but you got to make sure it looks like, no, I love you. I don't like what you've done right now. That's okay. Praise God. The Bible doesn't say we have to unconditionally like them. I mean, there are things that make, you know, parenting really really hard. But yeah, now we listen longer. We hug and we spend time with them and we challenge them and we say, no, this is, we are raising you in this way. You know that. These are the standards in our home and you're making choices that are unhealthy. Help us understand that. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Why are you confused? We've got to ask those questions and you have to earn the right to be heard, right, Tim? And earn the right to be the authority. Have you been good at that historically?
Kathy, in your book, Raising Gender Confident Kids, I like to think about, everybody's talking about AI. In mental health, we're talking about AIA, and that is, you start out with awareness. What are we really up against? You know that? And you help unpack that in Raising Gender Confident Kids. You talk about intervention in mental health. What are some of the strategies we need to be involved with to, quote, anchor our kids and help them? And then what's the aftercare? What are the wellness plans, the strategies that maintain growth and development anchored in our relationship with God and Christ? Kathy, in this journey, there are hills and valleys, you know that, and it's all a part of the journey. But nevertheless, ultimately, we come back to what it means to be in Christ, what it means to understand the truths of God's word. What does it mean to live righteously? What does God bless? What does God call us to, and so much more? Kathy, I want to kind of wrap up this segment. And again, I want to be engaging our listening audience today just to be steadfast, to be strong, because these are tough seas that we're in. And these are challenging moments, and they're not easy for moms and dads, you know that? But together, by the way, not separated alone and living in isolation or in silos, but somehow together, we press in, we hold on, we love well, and we pray to the end that these are God's kids at the end of the day. And we're just simply being a steward in our responsibilities. Can you kind of close us with a word of encouragement and challenge?
The majority of kids who say that they're gender confused, it's a mental health issue. Tim, you and your organization know this. So there's depression, anxiety, stress, confusion. They're being overwhelmed. They don't know how to live in the uncomfortable moment well. So I want to encourage parents to decide what is the best treatment plan, right? How do we intervene here? Therapy and coaching and counseling and knowing your kids and making sure that you're dealing with the right thing. Too many children and young adults think that, oh, changing gender is easy. I'll just solve all of my problems, all my angst will go away if I just change my gender. And it will not work. And then they have misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed mental health problems on top of the attempt to change gender, and it even gets messier. So parents need to be brave and to say, my child's confused. I've done the best I know how to do. Like, this came out of nowhere. We're doing the best we know how to do. We need to have compassion and hope and truth and confidence, even in a mixed up time. You don't have to know everything yet, but you can find out what you need to know when you pay attention to the experts and pray and seek God's wisdom.
I love that. Kathy, as we go, my son, Zach, who you know very well, Zach says, Dad, what you tolerate grows. And I think about our school systems. I think about the voice of the church and so much more. We need to be strong. We need to find our way. We need to stand up for righteousness. We need to be reading books like Raising Gender Confident Kids and making sure that we cross those T's and dot those I's, because this all matters. Closing thoughts from Dr. Kathy Cook on Raising Gender Confident Kids.
Children become who we tell them they are if they respect us. Children become who we tell them they are. Tell your children that you delight that God gave you a girl. You delight that God gave you a boy. Celebrate that they're creative and analytic and outgoing and confident, and that they dance and that they sing and that they love science and that they want to grow up and be a first responder. Tell them who you see them being so they can grow up and become that.
What an important conversation today with Dr. Kathy Cook. I encourage you, pick up a copy of Raising Gender Confident Kids. It's available online right now. The book, it's filled with wisdom to help guide your children to embrace God's design and calling on their lives with confidence and joy. As always, on behalf of my son and co-host, Dr. Zach Clinton, Kathy, thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. See you next time right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, This is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.